Welcome to Before You Cut Bangs. I'm Laura Quick.
And I'm Claire Fearman.
I am a professional storyteller, and I'm currently working on my first book.
I have worked in mental health for many years in lots of capacities, and this is a really important time to tell you our big disclaimer. This is not therapy. We are not your therapists or coaches or anything like that.
You shouldn't really trust us very much at all. Unless you want to, and it turns out well, then you could trust us. That's mm-hmm. great.
All right. Today's episode is the beginning of a two-part series on narcissism, a topic I have avoided since we began this podcast in August of 2023.
Why have you avoided it?
Well, I can tell you it's also been like a hot topic everybody wants us to talk about, and you've avoided it. Why?
I didn't think that was part of the introduction, but okay. I have had experience with narcissism in my personal life, but also professionally. It's like pervasive and awful and sneaky. And it was one of those topics where I wanted to be like emotionally prepared, but also it's funny, like sometimes my clinical hat just like leaves. And so I'm trying to be like educationally prepared so I give all the right information and personally prepared. So Will's going to soften the blow today. We're going to do like a fun. We're going to have a good time with narcissism today.
We're going to decide who at this table is a narcissist.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
It's going to be as a group, because here's the deal. We have this quiz, so I'm going to ask the questions, and we're each going to kind of give our answer, but then come up with a collective. So we're going to see as a podcast, how narcissistic are we?
Perfect. Ooh. So that's fun, part one. And then part two, we're going to really dive deep into the nitty gritty because, and honestly, I think this is the most important thing we can do is talk about like the misinformation on narcissism. We use it in this very pop psychology, pop culture way of like, they're such a narcissist. I doubt it, you know? And so just because you are like self-important or have a big ego doesn't mean you're actually a narcissist. So we'll get through all of that in episode two. But today we're just here for fun.
Okay. I don't really know of any narcissistic relationship that makes me feel fun, but
just this table.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah, we are here for fun. Let's go. Let me drink my hot tea and take this quiz.
All right. Question number one. Do you experience an exaggerated sense of self-importance that frequently involves the need to exaggerate your talents or accomplishments?
God, I'm feeling really
good. Is it on a scale or just yes or no?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. It's from never to very often, and then all the in-between. So never, rarely, sometimes, often, very often.
What if 20-something-year-old Laura takes the quiz? And we just let her answer.
She's like, always.
Always.
I would say sometimes for me. And that's in places where, like, if I feel like someone needs me to, like, deliver something or perform something, then it's really from a place of anxiety. Not like they better think I'm amazing. It's like I want to show up for this person. So I would say sometimes I do that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think that's natural because a lot of times you're stretching yourself into something that may be, like, especially as you're taking on new roles and evolving as work,
yeah.
Or even as a mom, like you're just like, I can do it. Yes, sure.
Yes.
But I would say a 25-year-old Laura would have said always if she was able to tell the truth, and she probably wouldn't have been able to.
Okay. I think sometimes is good as a group. I think we could
all right. Yeah. Sometimes it is.
Like I feel like generally speaking, my sense of humor and stuff is self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. So I don't really, you know, the exaggerated sense of self-importance. Usually I'm the opposite, like, but still. Yeah, no, I think sometimes it's a good answer.
It feels mostly professional for me.
Mm. Yeah.
Same. Yeah, I would say mine is more mom stuff. Like, I'll be like, yes, I can do it. I'm a good mom. I really am.
Yeah, okay. So mom life, professional life. I don't feel like I would do it with, like, buddies. God, I hope. I hope not. Okay. If I do, write me in.
So sorry.
A message.
All right, question two. Do you believe you're special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high status people or institutions?
Oh my God.
This could go back to the friendship episode.
Go ahead. You go first.
I mean, I do think I'm unique. There's no question about that. That doesn't mean special in my mind. Mm-hmm. I just do think I'm unique. I don't think I fit in. Like when I go to the T-ball game, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's like, I feel like it's that weird thing of like all these parents on this side,
yes. mm-hmm.
and they're all, they all talk about the same stuff and they all have the same interests and hobbies. And I'm like over here on the other side by myself. Like that's, so I just feel unique. But that, and I do like to associate with people like me that have common interests.
I know.
But that doesn't mean high status people or institutions.
Correct. Like,
yeah. A friend of mine, you know, just recently was in prison for 30 years. And like, we're not on the same, any kind of, yeah, but he's a good friend. He's somebody that I talk to and we go to events together and stuff. Like,
okay.
This is a funny question, I think, for both Laura and I because of our Enneagram numbers and we keep talking about it. But I'm a type 4 called the individualist. So it is ingrained in me to feel that I am unique and individual, but also it doesn't necessarily mean I have to be special or important. And instead of high, what was it, high success?
Stature? High status.
Okay, status. I would say high quality for me. Like, yeah. Quality doesn't have to mean what we
successful.
Might
successful.
Yeah.
For the like,
so
world.
I think I'm like higher on this one. What are the choices?
Yeah, no, I think we're gonna be often on this.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the same, it's never, rarely, sometimes, often, or very
I'm gonna
often.
Say often. But that doesn't mean I feel like I'm having to like rally for
disclaimer.
Myself.
You're like disclaimer.
Well, I'm very kind and nice. Like, but that is also my truth. And I try to just be like open minded and kind to as many people as I can. I'm trying to make myself feel better. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to go off in on this one. And I would say with no disclaimers, I think I just genuinely have high standards. Now, I don't think I have like a, you know, I'm not making you take a quiz to see if you're doing enough cool stuff. I think I have friends all over the map, like Will said, like, but I am drawn to unique people with unique stories who are overcomers, who have, obviously I started a magazine about it. I love people with tenacity and grit who have fallen and gotten back up again and who like to bring people with them. And I do think I'm not normal. I'm married an Enneagram 4. I'm an Enneagram 3. Perception is very important to both of us, but Claire and Shane. But, but you know, I think, yeah. I love like collecting unique people and
we are leaning narcissists.
Oh,
all right,
God,
here we go.
Guys. All right.
Question 3. Do you find that you constantly have a willingness to take advantage of others to achieve your own goals?
No.
Yeah.
No, not at all. If it is not for the greater good, I am out.
Yeah. Agree. So I'm gonna say never on this.
I would say never to the point of...
Unless you're talking about 20-something-year-old Laura, because she would be rolling in on high on manipulation, I feel like, surviving.
Yeah, I've absolutely manipulated in my lifetime. I would say at this juncture, I was signing the kids up for camp. It was, or like day camp. It was super expensive. And I just like sent an email to inquire, like, hey, I'm a single mom. This is kind of what's up. And they scholarshiped us this summer. And the guilt I felt. And I just told them the truth. Just what it was. And so that's a never for me. Because then when I receive help, I'm like, did I somehow scam the system? I like think twice about it.
I want to tell you something. I just want to let you off the hook. When I was a single mom and Clay was in middle school, he wanted to go to this camp called Camp Cosby, which is a great YMCA camp. And he loved it so much. And I really could only maybe afford to send him for a half a week, truly. They don't do half weeks. At the time, I mean, I was just starting my company, very similar to kind of where you are in your practice. And I genuinely felt so much guilt for asking for a scholarship for him, but they did scholarship and it changed his life. I mean, he was like, and now that I'm in a different position, I go out of my way to make sure I remember how I felt as a single mom. So if there's a way to give you, it'll swing back around.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank God we got a win.
But I feel that you're not alone. Yes. Thank God. Never. We hate that.
All right, let's see. Question 4. Do you require excessive admiration from others?
What's one above never?
Rarely.
Rarely. Sometimes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it excessive. I just want to be like, you're doing all right.
So admiration and affirmation are different because I would say I really crave a lot of affirmation from like Shane in my life, like just like my close people. I love to be affirmed.
Your tier ones.
My tier ones, I want affirmation. Admiration is different. That's just like adoring of you. I don't need that. But I like to know, do they think I'm on track? And that's probably some codependent shit that I'm working out in therapy. But I'm still going to go, what's above rarely?
Sometimes.
Maybe sometimes.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe sometimes, but I don't, like, initially when I read this, I was like, ugh, no. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? It makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, stop. Like, if I hear, but at the same time, like.
Go on.
Let it. Oh, but really?
Like, it's a, like, I have a public job that if I didn't have that, I would not have a job. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have a paycheck. So right. I do think I'm also very cognizant of that and appreciative, very appreciative. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say sometimes.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. We'll go with sometimes then.
All right. Question 5. Are you preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love?
What was the first word? Are you obsessed?
Are you preoccupied with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love? This is probably like never for me.
I was going to go, no. Preoccupied means I would spend majority of my time That's thinking right. about it, and that is a no for me.
No, I think it's human nature to, like, if you fantasize, daydream, but that's not the same as preoccupation. I'm going to go with never.
Yeah. Never.
Okay. Have I bought a lottery ticket and fantasized about what I
Hell
did?
Hell yeah.
Okay, so rarely. Rarely.
Did I get these no. extensions thinking that I was going to be more beautiful? Yes.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, a lot of these things, like unlimited success and power, and a lot of these things seem stressful to me.
Yeah.
Too much
no
pressure.
Thanks. There's actually there, like, no such thing as any of those things without all the bad things.
All right, question 6. Do you have a sense of entitlement from others that involve unreasonable expectations of especially favorable treatment or automatic compliance with their expectations? One more time. Do you have a sense of entitlement from others that involve unreasonable expectations? Or we'll share it with the class. What?
Ding, ding, ding. Not for me, but, like, I'm just thinking about past relationships that I've been in that I'm like, oh, some of these really ring on, like, not to diagnose someone else, but, like, when you've been in a relationship with someone and they've acted that way, it is kind of like, red flag. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just, that was like a big.
You didn't.
No, it's great. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I mean, so what do we think? Do I need to read it again?
Yes, one more time.
Okay, do you have a sense of entitlement from others that involve unreasonable expectations of especially favorable treatment or automatic compliance with their expectations?
I'm a no.
No.
Yeah.
For me, these questions sound so gross. Audacious. Like, I'm like, oh, wow.
But yeah, that's real wordy.
Who would take this and be like, yeah. Well, I guess, yeah. Oh. It's hard to test a narcissist. Anyways. Question 7.
Okay, yeah, so never on that one? All right. Mm-hmm. Question 7. Do you find you are unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others?
Ooh,
maybe on this one. Really? Probably not y'all. I don't know. Let me see. Hang
on. Okay, pause.
Oh, so no, I can 100% recognize, but identify with...
It's like an empathy. It's like, are you empathetic? You are empathetic.
Yeah, cool. Sorry.
Extremely empathetic.
All right, I'm going to edit the question 7. Do you find you are unwilling to recognize or identify with the feelings and needs of others? Oh, hell yes.
No, you don't get to edit that out. You never edit our shit out.
I'm kidding.
Okay, what about you?
All I do is connect with people and their feelings.
I was going to say, I love hearing where people are and knowing and trying to resonate with it, even if I don't necessarily sympathize, at least saying, like, I've felt that way before, or I understand mm-hmm. that feeling, you know. Yeah. Ew, no. Yeah.
So it's yes, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm gonna say often on this, as opposed to very often. Often?
I would say very often.
Okay. As a group, we're going very often.
If that's positive.
Yeah, that's, I think. Okay. Yeah.
We get the results and we're all, we're just like, all right, we're a narcissistic podcast, guys.
All right, question 8. Do others perceive you as arrogant or snobby?
No.
I don't think so. Because again, like, I'm self-deprecating for the most part.
You are self-deprecating.
I would hate, yeah. Mm-mm. So rarely or never?
I would say never for me.
I'm going to go rarely because I think people can make up stories if they don't know you. I mean, but like people that know me, never.
Rarely. Okay. Yeah. Question 9. Do you find that you are often envious of others and or believe that others are envious of you?
No.
I would say I'm sorry, I keep asking the scale. Never and then sometimes.
Never, rarely, sometimes, rarely. Often, very often. I feel like these are two different things in this question. Do you find that you are often envious of others and or believe that others are envious of you? Those are two different things.
I agree. I never think people are jealous or envious of me, but we did that whole comparison episode. There are absolutely times where I've looked at something and I'm like, I want to be like that or have that. Mm-hmm. So there's an occasional like, do they have some magic thing that I don't have? And then I can reality check it. But I would say occasionally that happens.
Yeah.
But I never think the opposite, that people are like, look at her life. Wow.
They probably are, though.
I bet people do that with you, Claire.
Yeah, I bet they do.
Guys, thank you. But I don't sit around and fucking think about it.
Okay.
Okay. I'll go rarely, too. I think it's not like a never. It's not that I don't. Envy is not necessarily like a. That's not a feeling that's high up for me.
You don't like that word.
I don't like that word. And I also just, to the Will and Laura Labrador Retriever idea of like, we just want everybody to win. So like, it doesn't really serve anything. But comparison, yes, I would say rarely.
How do you say it?
Rarely. Rare, like rare first, then Lee at the end. Rarely.
What's that? I couldn't remember the word, but I got it. Schadenfreude?
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. That's what we're talking about. When you get pleasure from somebody else's misfortune, I feel like would have been a better way to state that question.
Yeah. Ooh. But again, just two questions in this one question. I feel like they're counterintuitive. Like they don't. Yeah. I don't know.
All right. But we're going rarely.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that might be it.
All right. Let's submit. See the results.
Oh, God. Mild indication of narcissistic personality disorder. You show some symptoms and or experiences consistent with patterns of behavior associated with narcissistic personality disorder, but not most. Okay.
Guys.
Mild indication? What? Come on.
I will say, I don't know if this is accurate. What
was it? Only nine questions.
Guys.
Psychcom.net.
Wait, what's our diagnosis?
Mild indication of narcissistic personality disorder. We show some symptoms, but not most.
I'm sorry.
I'm so much better than this website.
There's not a personality disorder at this table.
Yeah.
Okay?
How dare.
Claire would know. She is clinical.
I would know, and I'm not kidding.
Real quick, though, I do want to say the goal of what we want to accomplish by talking about narcissism and is we have heard there are lots of people struggling and feel like they're in relationship. It is such a buzzy word right now that like narcissism. Oh, he must be a narcissist. Like Claire said, it's a very small percentage of real like that diagnosis, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but. Some characteristics, obviously, we heard them in that quiz, like self-importance.
Yeah, an exaggerated sense of self-importance, a need for constant, excessive admiration, a sense of entitlement to privileges and special treatment, a belief that you're superior to others.
Love bombing is definitely like way high up on a narcissistic characteristic. They like to love bomb you.
Personal exaggerations.
Mm-hmm. And so they may make themselves, they want to seem highly esteemed.
What y'all are describing is like what we'd call an overt narcissist, where like you can see them coming like a mile away. So they might be really beautiful or handsome, very charming.
Serial killers.
Could be serial killers.
Well, no, wait, what's the one? The famous one that was like real good looking. What was his name?
Ted Bundy.
Yes, never correct me, but also Ted Bundy.
Wait, didn't you say who is the...
Charles Manson?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you asked.
No, Ted Bundy. It was Ted Bundy, right?
Yeah, and here's the thing. He wasn't quite as good looking as he's made out to be.
Zac Efron, okay, buddy. Yeah. Calm down, but go on.
Sorry. So what y'all are describing are these traits that you can like very, very clearly see and describe. But then there's a covert narcissist, and... A covert narcissist is like sneaky, manipulative. They might not be super cognizant of it, but they will belittle you, make you feel small, or they'll say something shitty and be like, oh, I was joking. So it's this like total mind fuck of like, but you were joking, but it was really hurtful. So a covert narcissist would never be able to take the test we just took and be like,
I am a narcissist.
Gosh, I'm glad. Yeah. No, I'm glad I am not one. Like, that test would have been too skewed for a covert narcissist.
Right.
Because they might not have big feelings of grandiosity or like big dreams of success and power. They have an intolerance for you to be better or more successful than them. So if you are, let's say, in their book, more successful, more stable, more this, they will do whatever they can to make you less than all of that at your expense.
So people, coverts, are going to pick you apart. That's typically where gaslighting comes in. And we're going to do, I think, its own episode to talk about gaslighting and really what the hell it is. But like, if you find yourself going, am I crazy?
That's right.
I feel crazy.
That's right. The am I crazy is your first indication of you're likely with a narcissist. That is not published in any kind of special literature. That is just like the main theme. So where we have the inflated ego, the overt narcissists, like they probably own some fancy business or their dad does, you know, and they like were given it. The covert is that's a highly defensive, super sensitive person. So they can be like really what looks to be tender, but their self-importance is just as high. It just doesn't look as flashy.
Mm-hmm. And they may not have had the same level of success, which is a lot of times, and that's where a lot of that insecurity comes from.
That's right.
And do we believe narcissists, I'm just asking this question, I don't actually know if there is a right answer, nature or nurture?
I'm going to give an opinion. We're going to do more in the second episode. So there's not like a genetic component of narcissism, but could it be modeled? Yes. But narcissism typically comes from a trauma wound that's never been dealt with.
So it is more of a nurture or lack of nurturing.
Mm-hmm. I would have guessed nature, but I don't know.
Serial killers sometimes, I think, are nature, right? They get here like little psychopaths.
I knew sociopaths.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't know. Dexter would say otherwise.
Dexter would?
Oh, well,
yeah,
because
of course he witnessed a murder, that's why.
Okay. So, and this is cool. According to a 2008 study of over 3,000 sets of twins, 33% of narcissism disorder has a genetic basis, while the rest is caused by environmental influence.
33%.
Was higher than I would have thought, but that was a study done in 2008.
But that is saying it is genetic. They're saying there is a genetic component.
Yeah, I'm saying there is a component.
Oh, I thought you said there wasn't a genetic component.
She was guessing. She was giving.
I was saying that in my experience, every narcissist I've worked with or like come into contact with has been like there's been some kind of childhood trauma.
Okay, so let's say somebody was listening and they were taking that quiz and they were answering on the extreme for maybe a person that they're in relationship with, or maybe yourself. What could we say to hold on until the next episode? What type of encouragement could we give them?
So if you're listening to this or you've taken that test or you're in relationship with somebody and you don't really know what to do, the first piece is like you aren't crazy.
Mm.
And find a person that tells you you aren't crazy. Mm-hmm. And then I've never recommended telling a narcissist they're a narcissist. They're never going to be like, thank you.
It's like telling a woman she's acting crazy when she's acting a little crazy. Nobody likes that.
It's like, are you on your period? And you're like, no, motherfucker. And then like you start the next day and it's like, fuck, like they were right.
I will never tell them I'm on my period now.
Yeah.
It just seems like it wouldn't work if you tell a narcissist they're a narcissist.
It's not possible.
Yeah. It's impossible.
So it's like finding kind of your safety, your support, and working through that. Narcissism, because it's in what we call a cluster B. Narcissism is in what we call like a cluster B trait, meaning if you're OCD or bipolar or have major depressive disorder, that's something you can medically treat. A personality disorder is what it sounds like you have it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are behavioral tools to work on it, and other personality disorders are like, for instance, borderline or histrionic is what that used to be called. If you can hear that and own it, you can work on it, but rarely, because in the name, the narcissist isn't going to be like, gosh, that's me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go do some good, deep work.
Okay, so how do you protect yourself if you're in a deep relationship, like an everyday relationship?
I mean, get a therapist.
Get a therapist. Like,
that's the thing is you've probably thought, I've already said this, but am I crazy? You've probably thought, how do I get out? it's not that bad, and it goes in cycles, which we'll do next time. Narcissism goes through all these phases and all these cycles, and they'll keep repeating themselves until the relationship ends. And so, like, do the research. They don't have to take a test. I've heard of more diagnoses, like, in my practice over the past 10 plus years of, hey, I think I'm in relationship with a narcissist. I've never had a case where someone's like, I think I'm a narcissist. So, like, in protecting yourself, if you have that feeling, you're probably right. And you don't have to go, like, share all of that with them. Like, get your therapist, talk to somebody really close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And moving companies do this thing called a confidential move. So while the narcissist is at work, you can just leave.
Go on out.
You can just move and they'll never know.
I will say narcissists really struggle with boundaries too. Like, meaning they don't love your boundaries. And so a lot of times if you are fully awake to the idea that you may be in deep relationship with a narcissist and you feel yourself living in cycles, which we will talk about more in the next episode, like, truly, you do need to call a moving company. I mean.
And then I want to say something that's, like, maybe too tenderhearted, but narcissists aren't evil, okay? Like, the hurt people hurt people. And so that's what also keeps people in relationship with a narcissist, because they're like, oh my gosh, I see where they're acting like that. And just because you have empathy doesn't mean you have to tolerate the behavior. So you can actually compassionately take care of yourself. You don't have to point a finger. You don't have to blame. It's just like, hey, this isn't working for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, I know that sounds really brave, but if you do have those tier one people, this is where they come in, where you're accessing and dipping into your friend pool that you know will tell you the truth and get you out of there if you need help getting out of there.
And we're focusing, like, you're married to a narcissist, but you can work with one.
Way more complicated.
You can be in a...
Cannot call the moving truck at work, guys.
That's right. You can be in a friendship with one. You can be on the, you know, PTA board with one. Like, so this isn't like a high drama episode of, like, here's your secret moving company, only you must get out. It's like, how do you navigate people in the world that have this?
And we're going to talk about that next episode.
Follow along with us everywhere. Please subscribe to the podcast. Find us on Instagram. We're constantly doing polls. We want to know what you think. And I know that you probably know this, but reviewing us and giving us 5 stars matters more than anything. And we are so grateful to have you here.